The NBA basketball season has started. Is it time for David Fizdale to go? Mad Mike thinks so. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants are Jets, Yankees are Mets, Knicks are Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A.O.B. And please, pardon my fresh, as we bring you all new episodes of Lloyd A. Thompson, Mad Mike Sports Talk Show listeners. Today is Monday, October 28th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. for Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play. Pocket Cast listeners, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And also, please start spreading news about this exciting talk show we have on tap. We have a great show for you today. And as always, listeners, we're on social media. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter. LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer on this show, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com, and you can send them directly to the website. As I mentioned before, great show as always for you listeners. We're going to talk some New York Knicks basketball and Brooklyn Nets basketball as both teams have kicked off their regular season. We're going to talk some NFL football as the Jets and Giants are in action. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball, maybe some hockey. You don't know what we're going to talk about because we try to cover everything. So as always, listeners, just buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, I'm in front of the garden just wondering if I want to spark the match and burn this place down. So disgusted.
Listen, we were just talking about that. We were talking about the New York Knicks, a team that I, listeners, that I predicted would make the playoffs. And after watching the preseason games and the first three regular games of the season, Mad Mike, I don't even know if this team is going to win 17 games, which is what they won this past season. All right, one of my biggest things is Coach Fizdale. All right, and it was somebody who I thought might be the right man for the job, and I even convinced you that he might be the right man for the job.
Oh, I think the listeners remember that argument we had on air about that hire. I think they remember that.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we both would prefer Mark Jackson or somebody else, Jeff Van Gundy, whatever it would have took to get one of those two guys into the garden, that would have been the best bet. But I said that the reason why they probably went with Fizdale is because they thought Fizdale would be the guy to hit a home run with the Kevin Durants and the Kawhi Leonards and all those guys because he had a great relationship with them when he was with Miami and all this other kind of stuff. And what happened? Completely nothing. Zip, zero, strike, swing and miss. Everything that you could think of that would have happened didn't happen since Fizdale has been his coach, Mad Mike. And at this very particular point in time, I even think that he's lost his locker room. All right, let's go back to the first game of the season where the New York Knicks was actually beating the San Antonio Spurs. All right? I believe that he blew that game. San Antonio went on, what was it, a 10-plus 0-1?
18-0-1,
and the dude didn't call one timeout.
18-0, Lloyd. 18-0 run. He pulled his guys with eight and change left in the game with a 6-point lead, and he went back to his veterans, Lloyd. The same veterans that dug this team in a hole in the first half.
Yeah, and his play rotation is shabby as well. That first game, and we're talking about the first game, listeners, he started Alonzo Trier, and he started, who was it, Alonzo Trier and R.J. Barrett in the backcourt. Then Alonzo right. Trier didn't play the rest of the game. He didn't come out playing well, Matt Mike, but he also didn't play on the rest of the game. We're talking about him stunting the growth of the youth players. Okay?
Right. And you know what else we're talking about, Lloyd? Russell, what did that lineup tell you? What did that lineup right there tell you? That this guy who keeps selling positionless basketball, this is what he's going to do, right? Well, it's not working. Do you know why the point guard position exists, Lloyd? Because it's actually needed on a team. You'll find me one team in a league that's successful that doesn't require a point guard, that doesn't have LeBron James on their team, on their roster. Go find me one. Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn. Who'd he go with? Kyrie Irving, a point guard. He didn't go there by himself. The only team that can tell me they don't need a point guard in this league is a team that has LeBron James.
Yeah, listen, back in July of 18, shortly after Fizdale was hired to coach the Knicks and before he held his first official practice, listeners, Fizdale, he kept on saying over and over and over again that all playing time in New York would be earned. Nothing was guaranteed. This was his sentiments. His exact sentiments. Okay, Fizdale again echoed those very similar sentiments, listeners, at the start of training camp this year. And the Knicks brought in a bunch of veterans this offseason to compete for playing time. And Fizdale promised only those players that earned minutes would see the floor. Well, the Knicks had a rough preseason, 1-3. Three consecutive losses to open up the regular season. And now fans are like, yo, what's going on? Specifically, the curious case of Dennis Smith Jr. He's drawn an ire of New Yorkers. He came into camp reportedly in great shape, ready to finally put it all together. He worked on his jump shot. His jump shot was looking sweet.
His jump shot is the ugly. It looks like Markel Fultz shooting the ball.
He tweaked
it. It looks like Markel Fultz.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Oh, he looks terrible out on the court, man, Mike.
I was just going to tell you, we know what we're looking at. And you want to talk about playing time has to be earned. Devontae Murray, as soon as Dennis Smith Jr. came in a game, went nuts. He knows this kid doesn't play defense. This kid is on the court for his offense. And if he can't shoot the ball, because his jump shot looks broken, it sure as hell does. He's not jumping out of the building anymore with this back injury. Why is he on the court?
Man, Mike.
Why is he on the court?
Listeners, Dennis Jr. is shooting 17.6% on field goal attempts. I'm sorry, Matt Mike. I had to throw that in. 17.6%. That's what he's shooting from the floor, listeners. I'm sorry, Matt Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and now, if he's not ready to play, you can't put him out there. Because here's one thing that me and you can agree on. Regardless of what we think about Frank Ntilikina overall, two things happened before the season Dolphin on Wednesday. Two things happened. He shined on the world stage for France. He played with guys on his national team that believe in him. He played for a coach that believed in him and unleashed him. Right? Did he not? Can we all agree? He is the one that put the dagger in the U.S. heart in the World Games. Did he not?
You're absolutely right. And we was like, wait, okay. Is this the same dude that plays for the Knicks?
Correct. So that's one. The other thing that happened before Wednesday's tip-off, the Knicks picked up his option, which made you what? Feel like what? The Knicks believe in this kid. This kid is here. They're going to give him his shot. They saw enough. They're ready to unleash him, too. They're ready to take the training wheels off. And then what happens? He sits the entire first half while Dennis Smith gets torched, while Elfrid Payton is getting torched, while Wayne Ellington is not only pulled with his jump shot, but he's getting torched on defense. He doesn't see the court until 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and he struggles. Why do you think that is, Lloyd? Why do you think it is that Frank Ntilikina struggled in the opening night? Was it because he was cold coming off the bench after not playing for the first 33 minutes of the game? Could that have been a reason?
Simply.
Could it have been a reason?
Lack of playing time.
Or could it have been because he sat for the first 35 minutes of a game now he's coming in and
yeah, your whole mindset pressure is on him. He wasn't even going to play, Matt Mike.
That's my point. And now when he comes in, he's saying, now I got to, I got all this pressure on me now because now I got to come in here and I got to impress this coach. This guy doesn't believe in me. First mistakes I make, I'm out. So what does he do? Now he's playing, instead of playing loose, he's playing tight. That's what I saw.
And that's the difference between a Frank Ntilikina on the New York Knicks and a Frank Ntilikina that played for the international team.
And now here's what I'm going to ask you. Because you advocated the hire. I'm not going to say that you wanted this guy, but when we hired him, you chose to look at all the positives. One of the positives was that he develops the point guard position. Do you see any development? He's not even playing point guards anymore.
Yeah, no, I really don't. I don't. I don't know if you would consider Alonzo Trier point guard, but he really hasn't developed Alonzo Trier. Alonzo Trier is just out there on pure talent, his skill level.
You can't nickname a guy Iso Zoe and tell me he's now going to be a point guard. Save the BS, the bull.
Listen, this team is allowing a whopping 119 points per 100 possessions. And in the 26 minutes, Smith has been on the court. And somehow analytics are even worse on the other end of the floor. The Knicks are scoring 74.1 points per 100 possessions, listeners. That is a mind-boggling, rotten net rimmin of a minus 44.8 for those who keep a score at home. Yes, we throw stats out there because we do our damn homework. It was clear that he needed to be benched Friday night in Brooklyn. He missed four shots in 4 minutes. Things hit with New York Hope's rock bottom Saturday night in the Knicks home opener. He missed all three field goal attempts while tallying as many turnovers. He had two turnovers as assists and rebounds combined.
Yep, and Lloyd, and you know what makes it worse? Because now we're talking about a guy in Frank Ntilikina who had his confidence shattered by this front office and coaching staff, right? This front office has not been shy about saying that was Phil Jackson's pick because they think that the fans don't like him. The fans actually like him. You heard it in the home opener. What were they cheering with Dennis Smith struggling on the court? We want Frank. We want Frank. This coach, this front office, say whatever you want. They have now, not only have they shattered the confidence of their own Frank Ntilikina, but they have now forced the fans to shatter the confidence of Dennis Smith Jr. So now you have two kids under the age of 23, two young kids who play similar positions, even though I don't think either one of them even should be considered as a point guard. But now you're trying to turn two of these kids, both of them, into point guards. This is what I understand about the Knicks. It just doesn't make any sense to me. What do you think is going through Dennis Smith Jr.'s mind now? One guy is saying this coaching staff doesn't want me, and the other player is saying this fan base doesn't want me.
Listen, I tell you, this team, listeners, was embarrassed on their home court in the second half Saturday night. They were outscored 72-44. Kemba Walker did the majority of the damage. He poured in 21 of his 32 points in the second half. 8 or 9 from the floor, 5 or 6 from three-point territory. The Knicks play terrible defense, Matt Mike. On the perimeter, guys are getting blown past. There's no help defense at all.
Who's their best perimeter defender? Who's their best defensive player on the perimeter?
Frank Ntilikina.
Where's Frank Ntilikina at? You know how many minutes Frank has played this year? In 3 games, yeah. Frank has totaled 3 minutes.
I was just about to say that all the while, and like we both said, Frank Ntilikina, who is the next best perimeter defender, is explicitly remained cemented on a bench.
Listeners,
if you are getting zero contributions offensively from the backup point guard anyway, might as well with someone, you know what I'm saying, that is a notable upgrade on the other end of the floor. You have to put somebody out there that is going to stop the other team.
Not only that, but how can you be a coach? How can you be a coach who and we've seen it for large portions of the season already, where they play selfishly on offense. I actually saw an entire possession on Saturday night where Alonzo Trier brought the ball up and actually dribbled it for the entire 24-second clock and took a three-pointer.
Is that?
I swear to God.
Is that memories of Carmelo Anthony right there?
It is. But here's my point to you. How can you be a coach of the New York Knicks who keeps telling the media and the fan base, we're going to play defense and we're going to play unselfish basketball, and maybe the best defender on your team and most unselfish player on the entire team played 3 minutes this entire season?
I mean, look.
I'll be honest with you. I wasn't even coming on here today to defend Frank Ntilikina because I thought that he played that bad of a game in his 3 minutes. My initial reaction was like, all right, well, I kept screaming, where's Frank? Well, now I know why Frank's not playing. But I sat back and thought about it. I was like, you crushed this kid's confidence in one game, in one half. By him being the DMP while you pick and chose everybody else to play, I was like, you know what? Now I feel bad for the kid. I'm ready for him to go. I'm ready for him to go star somewhere else so we can start saying Scott Perry stuff. You know, Scott Perry is very loyal to the guys that he's picked and chose. Wayne Ellington. He got Wayne Ellington to the Kings. He got Elfrid Payton to Orlando. What are we doing here? What has Scott Perry won outside of Detroit? And here I'm going at Scott Perry. Yes, I am. And somebody that I've defended and said, let's see. But what has Scott Perry done outside of winning that title as one of Joe Dumars' guys in Detroit that warrants him bringing in all his old players, all of his old guys that have never won? Orlando hasn't won anything. When was the last time Orlando mattered? Tracy McGrady?
Oh, well.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
Never during Scott Perry's tenure there.
I'm just also confused, you know, listeners and Mad Mike, about how the Knicks were talking about, you know, he's in trade talks and teams are interested in what they could get for him. And like we said, the Knicks sign him, they pick up his contract. Not sign him, but they pick up his contract. So what are you saying? Why pick up his contract if you're not going to play him? You're stunting his growth by doing that. And look, I'm not a fan of his at all. At all. I'm not a fan of his. But if this is the direction that you're going to go in, the one thing I will say, fan of his or not, he is the Knicks' best perimeter defender on this team. And you got to have somebody out in that damn court that plays some sort of defense because the other four guys don't.
And here, exactly what I was just going to say. Here's the other question that I have for you. Why do we need Frank to come in and shoot the ball 10 times when you have all these gunners on his team? When Marcus Morris is taking 11, 12, and 13 shots.
Julius Randle, nut job. He's shooting all over the damn
place. Julius Randle's taking 14, 15 shots. When it's clear that you want R.J. Barrett to be the focal point of the offense. And that's the other part of the problem. As good as R.J. Barrett is, look, don't you feel like they're forcing it at times?
Yeah, no, they definitely
are. They just want to show everybody, listen, we were right. Zion is injured. Zion is injured. Morant is starting out slow. Look how great R.J. looks. Well, they're going to burn him out.
Here's a question I want to ask you, man, Mike. Obviously, this team looks terrible, all right? Does Fizdell make it? Or do you think, do the All-Star break? You think the Knicks might let him go? You think he makes it to the end of the season? You think the Knicks even are thinking about letting him go?
No, you know why? He's not going to, he'll never get fired. And here's why. When remember Steve Mills, I don't know what he said to keep his job, but Phil Jackson had to inherit him. He's been in the organization on and off for the better part of 20 years almost. This is his guy. This is his handpicked guy. He got elevated to president. He brought in Scott Perry as his GM. They went through this whole process. The New York Knicks fans, and everyone can say whatever.
Yeah, man, Mike, sounds like we having some technical difficulties, listeners, with Mad Mike, but I'll continue on until we get Mad Mike back.
You hear me?
Oh, we got you now, Mad Mike. Go ahead. We missed some of what you were saying. You might have to retrace your steps a little bit.
I was just saying that I don't think that they're going to fire David Fizdale simply because this is Steve Mills, and, you know, positions himself, you know, to get in a promotion to president. He brought in Scott Perry. Scott Perry's his guy. Scott Perry has to get fired. You got to look at Steve Mills. And these two together picked David Fizdale, over Mark Jackson. The Knicks fans wanted Mark Jackson. They wanted Jeff Van Gundy. They wanted somebody with ties to this organization that understood us. They wanted what we deem as New Yorkers, right? Jeff Van Gundy might not be from New York, but he's a New Yorker in our eyes. Why? Because he's been here, done that, succeeded here. Same as Joe Torre and all these other guys.
You don't know what that has to do? You don't want to know what also plays a part in that? Matt, Mike, and listen, is the fact that Fizdale is a puppet. Mark Jackson is not going to allow them to dictate what he does when he's on that sideline, and neither is Jeff Van Gundy. And the Knicks have a coach where Scott Perry and Steve Mills can dictate what Fizdale does on the sideline. No way in the world Mark Jackson would allow that to happen. No way in the world Jeff Van Gundy would allow that to happen.
And the other issue I have here, Lloyd, with this coaching hire, and maybe we've discussed this, maybe we haven't. The other thing that bothers me is you're a New York Knicks team that's going young. You're a New York Knicks team that needs to develop this youth. And I think we saw it in the start of the season where they're well ahead of a lot of other rebuilding teams. If you can develop this youth, like, how many teams can boast Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson? This team has legitimate stud star potential players to build around. Mark Jackson is proven in his ability to develop the youth, to build a culture. People forget about Mark Jackson because Steve Kerr is the face of these championships. Steve Kerr didn't inherit and develop. We're going to see now. You know, Golden State, not for nothing, is a huge laughing stock right now in this early part of the season, right? We're going to see if Steve Kerr has what it takes to develop and build a culture. He took over something that was built already. These guys were already, it was already ingrained in them that they were going to be great. It was already built in them, their defensive principles, all these things. He just took them to the next level. The New York Knicks, they're still in the bottom level of that development part. David Fizdale, everyone talks about how great he is, and you tell me, what did he do in Memphis? He took over, he didn't take over youth and develop them. Marc Gasol was already established.
Yeah, he had a solid, team. Yeah. That team that made the playoffs was a solid basketball team.
And you know who developed that? Lionel Hollins. People forget that. He developed the Grizzlies. David Fizdale came in and only lasted a year and a half.
Well, listen, I said from the beginning of the, you know, from the beginning of the season, before the season even started, there's no excuses for Fizdale, listeners. No excuses for him. He has this roster is good enough in the Eastern Conference to earn a playoff spot. I'm sorry, it's good enough. So if the Knicks don't make the playoffs and their younger guys don't get better as the season goes on, there's no excuses now. It all falls on his shoulders.
From what you've seen in the first three games, from the minute distribution, from the coaching, from the plays, from the defensive, you tell me, what do you see? And here's another thing I will say. Mitchell Robinson only playing 13 minutes a game? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I saw something. I don't know if it was you. I saw something where he was, you know, was quoted as him saying, like, he always saw Bobby Porter Junior is a starter. So now you're bringing
Fizdale
in somebody. And
yes,
now these veterans.
Yes, Fizdale said that.
Yeah. These veterans, listeners, that the Knicks are bringing in, they only have 1 or 2 year deals. Julius Randle has a 3 year deal, and that third year is an option year where the Knicks can release him or cut him out of his contract. So you're signing players for 1 or 2 years, and you're sitting players that you plan on having in this organization for years to come?
See, I think Randle. And I've said this. I said this in the off season. The two guys I would have signed. For me, I would have signed D'Angelo Russell, and I would have signed Julius Randle. I would have signed them both. D'Angelo Russell, he's a star. Let's be honest. I mean, we say whatever the hell we want, but Kenny Atkinson turned that kid into a star. And honest to God, I think that if you gave them some truth serum, I think that the Nets, being honest, and an honest moment will tell you, if Kevin Durant would have came here without Kyrie Irving, we would have kept D'Angelo Russell. I, honest to God, I believe that. That guy was the motor, the heart there, and I think that the New York Knicks missed a golden opportunity to bring him to New York on a max deal, with still less than the max deal that Kyrie would have got because of the the amount of years that they've been in the league. He would naturally have been less. And Julius Randle. And I think if you would have had those two, can you imagine Julius Randle right now at 25 years old and D'Angelo Russell at 24 years old? If you surround, if you give those two this group of young Knicks.
I was saying to somebody, Mad Mike and listeners, I don't know who it was, D'Angelo Russell just looks out of place in Golden State, man. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but he looks out of place.
It's because you know what? Because you got to think about it. It's not his game. And that's why I always thought it was a bad fit for them. It's not his game. It's just not. He's not a catch and shoot guy. He's more of a drive, kick, create type of guy. The reason Klay works so well with Steph Curry is because he's a catch and shoot guy, and he's a lights out shooter. If you have two Stephs on that team at the same time, how's it going to work?
Yeah. I don't know if Golden. I don't know.
Of course, Golden State might
trade him, but I still think he was the best fit for the Knicks because watching the Nets, you know, looking at the Nets, the first couple games, it's turned into the Kyrie Irving show. I mean, the other players get involved, but they seem to get more involved when he's not on the floor. And here's an interesting stat talking about with the Brooklyn Nets, Matt Mike, with Kyrie Irving off the floor. I think the Nets are like a plus 10 or plus 11.
I do see better ball.
I'm sorry to just kind of switch sides, listeners, and Matt Mike, which, you know, let's finish up with the Knicks before we talk about the Nets. You got anything else to say about the Knicks? The Knicks are embarrassing right now.
No, I think the Knicks need to, I don't know, man. I haven't been happy. I'm going to be very honest with you. I haven't been happy. I haven't been happy with the defensive effort. Just haven't been happy with the player rotation. I don't like how the Knicks were 8-12. And last year, and games decided by 5 points or less, and the first opportunities this guy has had this year, instead of, you know, teaching these guys and showing them how to close and building on last year's 8-12, he's gone to the vets. Gone to the vets both times.
And listen,
with the exception RJ Barrett.
Yeah, you might say, well, guys, pump your brakes. It's only three games in the season. We see what we see. We see what we see. And because of those reasons that Mad Mike just specified, this team is not going to be a good team unless that changes. They have the talent to make the playoffs, but talent doesn't always get you there. Doesn't always get you there.
Dude, in the end of the day, it's just like they say in baseball. In baseball, they say a coach is worth 5 wins a year. There's going to be 5 games a year where a coach is either where a coach has to, you know, the manager has to do his job. That's a week's worth of games. So week's worth of games, think about it, can make or break your season. And that's going to be on the manager. In basketball, they say that roughly 10% of your games, so roughly eight games, between 8 and 9 games, a coach is going to decide those games. Simple as that. So You want to tell me, well, it's just the coach. People always say players play, so blame the players. Well, I'm looking at a coach, and I'm saying, if you're not going to get them those 8 wins, that could be the difference, Lloyd, between, like you said, this team has the ability to win 40 games this year and make a playoff spot. Well, if he's not going to get those 8 wins, this team is going to win 32 games, and it's going to be a far cry from any kind of successful season.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody and got into a little debate because they were saying that, I forgot what it was, but I was saying that a team can necessarily not be talented as another team, but still win. How many times in sports, listeners, in
Matt Brooklyn Nets last year?
Yeah, have we seen teams that weren't as talented as other teams that they've gone up against and won games? You can be less talented than another team and win. Talent doesn't always get you championships.
The Brooklyn Nets last year. We say whatever we want. If Kenny Atkinson was the coach of these New York Knicks, I think things would be different. I think you'd see guys like Kevin Knox further along. And not for nothing, And that's where I kind of lose it, right? Because, yeah, we can understand why Frank's not playing, right? One, he was a Phil Jackson pick, kind of want to separate himself. I don't understand why Kevin Knox is not playing. I don't understand why Kevin Knox, who they were giving free reign last year, 20 shots a game, shooting, you know, as bad as he was. Why this year, when he looks so much better, he looks so much bigger, he looks so much more efficient on offense, why is he only playing 17 minutes a game, Lloyd? Why is he only getting 21, 22 minutes a game? Why? This is your first-round pick from a year ago. Kid, to me, R.J. Barrett is not going to prove that David Fizdale deserves his job. Kevin Knox is a guy
who's going to burn R.J. Barrett out. He's going to burn him out.
No, but you know what I mean? Kevin Knox is the guy that I'm looking at, because I'm saying I know what I saw last year from Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox looks like that again this year. Dave Fizdale's a problem. If he looks, you know, 10 times better, if he looks like that top 10 draft pick that he was, then I'm going to say maybe David Fizdale is the answer. But why is he not playing? What is it that they're trying to hide?
Yeah, and on top of that, to piggyback on that, listeners, Knox has already played a full season of NBA, so he's going through the rigor mortis of what an NBA player goes through. So he should be better prepared how to manufacture his body through an entire second season. And R.J. Barrett doesn't know how to do that.
But you know what else, Lloyd? That's why that was the one reason I said that their offseason made no sense to me, because they brought in a bunch of guys that was only going to stunt the growth of Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox. Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox, center and forward. And Kevin Knox, remember last year, this year they're trying him out as small forward. But remember last year, it was all about he was a power forward. Well, you brought in Bobby Portis, you brought in Taj Gibson, you brought in Marcus Morris. You brought in a whole bunch of guys to do exactly what we're seeing. Push these guys further down the bench.
Yeah, and he's playing well. Let's throw that out there too, listeners. Kevin Knox is playing solid basketball so far in 3 games when he's on the court. And if your play dictates your playing time, that doesn't seem to be the case. Fizdale is pulling the Brian Cashman on us. You're lying through your teeth to the New York fan base, to the Knicks fan base. Stop it. Stop it. But let's take a quick commercial break. Listeners, we'll come back. We got to talk New York Giants, New York Jets, maybe some Yankees. Boy, what a bad time for New York. The only positive spot is the New York Islanders right now. Even the Rangers ain't playing well. But we'll be back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, the first half of the show, we talked strictly Knicks. And yes, we talked about them quite a bit because we needed to talk about them. Needed to. This could get real. That situation could be real messy. Real messy. But let's move on to some other messes. Some other messes. All right, let's talk about football in New York, Mad Mike. Jets and Giants. And let's start with the Jets, a team that I actually said I believe was going to make the playoffs. I don't know what it, maybe I'm just jinxing teams. I said they were going to beat the New England Patriots. They got their rear ends handed to them in that game.
Yeah, they were just, dude, the New York Jets were always, they were always going to be that team. They were too top heavy. They kept a lot, they get too much of their garbage. And it was always going to be, if they're healthy, they're going to be in games, play tough, and they're going to win some games. But they didn't stay healthy. And it's football. Why would you ever roll the dice and bank that a team is going to stay healthy?
They signed Jermaine Johnson. He's been a complete, sometimes I'm like, yo, is this dude hurt? And then I'll see somebody catch a pass, and I'll see him tackling them.
You know, and then here's, oh, man, this is why I don't know if we're going to talk about the game, but this is why this needs to happen
talk
today.
Talk about the game.
Because when people tell you that the Jets front office is broken, you believe them. Because listen, when you're in, when you have guys like Ngakoue in the draft, and fans, I'm not even talking about the game, but I was watching them yesterday in the Jacksonville game. When the Jets are in on him, when the Jets are in on Alvin Kamara, when the Jets are in on all these guys that they supposedly like and then go in a different direction, it really makes you wonder. And I'm bringing that up because Tremaine Johnson was a Todd Bowles guy. And apparently, and this is per Manish Mehta, Todd Bowles wanted Tremaine Johnson. Long, lengthy, shutdown corner can jam at the line. And Mike Maccagnan wanted to spend the money on Malcolm Butler. Came from New England. He knows how to do it right. Champion, made that play against Seattle that year, and just knows how to win. He wanted to bring that kind of atmosphere, you know, atmosphere player into the Jets' current atmosphere. And for some reason, this is what happens when the manager, the coach, doesn't report to the GM. He reports to the owner. The coach gets Tremaine Johnson, and the Jets are stuck with this malcontent mess. I'm over it.
He's dreadful, man. Really bad. And I think he was one of the top corners in the NFL at one point. Boy, is that quickly erased. And their offensive line is terrible. Terrible.
And thank you for bringing that up, because here's what I'm going to say. On Monday Night Football, because we didn't get to talk about it, on Monday Night Football, the you know, when that comment came out about seeing ghosts, the NFL has already said that should have never been aired, but we know why ESPN does it. ESPN has a strong, they're basically New England, right? They're based in Connecticut, Bristol, Connecticut. They have a huge New England base. When you talk about Teddy Bruschi and a lot of these other guys, they you know, their analysts, by strength of who they play for, don't like the New York Jets. And they're so heavily based in social media, they went and put out something that they knew was not allowed on air purposely because they wanted the hits. And what did Booger McFarland do? He kept on hammering at home. Well, here's fans and listeners. This is not coming from me upset as a Jet fan. Here's what I'm going to tell you. What you saw Monday night was a quarterback who didn't want the sacks. You saw a quarterback throwing it up, you know, running for his life, trying to save himself. That's what you saw. When he said, "I'm seeing ghosts," that's a guy that's seeing things that necessarily aren't there. That's a guy who's rushing things because he knows he doesn't have any time in the pocket. He knows that it's just gotta go. He's rushing everything because the moment he takes his time, he's gonna get hit. If you guys want to defend Eli Manning for all these years, you know, not for nothing, Sam Darnold's just throwing it up. Eli Manning made a career out of just throwing the ball up and not taking the sacks, right? So I bring that up because what happened yesterday in the game, Lloyd? He took 8 sacks. This guy is missing the freaking toenail on his big toe. He had his freaking thumb and wrist wrapped up. He took 8 sacks. Why? Save this offensive, you know, so he doesn't get picked on. So he's not throwing these interceptions anymore. He's not going to have a game with 5 turnovers. He's already thinking that way. So now what does he do? Body's taking a beating of taking the sacks because he's standing in the pocket. What do you want from him? At some point, they got to do exactly what you just said. This god-awful offensive line has to take some criticism.
Well, my thing is, Matt, Mike, the Jets had a boatload of money to spend. They still have money to spend. What the hell are they doing? What are they doing?
I don't know, Lloyd.
They signing players out of off, you know, off the beach? You have a young quarterback that has potential to be a very good quarterback, and you don't protect him.
Yeah, but not only that, Lloyd. They had all this money. What weapon did they get him? Tell me. What weapon? They got him Le'Veon Bell, right? Do you see this coach using him as anything other than a battering ram to run up the middle?
Listen, man.
I'm being honest with you. What do you see from this coach? Everyone knows what's coming. Either Le'Veon is going to run it up the middle or he's going to take a screen pass in the flat. Everyone knows it. Let him go for the first time. Yeah,
they don't have any damn receivers. None.
What do you see? What do you see out of Ty? Yeah, nothing, right? Yeah. They don't use him. Robbie Anderson is over here once again quitting on routes. Connor freaking Rogers lit his ass up yesterday. Yeah, because Sam threw those interceptions. But you want to know what? You saw Robbie Anderson fight for any of those balls? Sam is scrambling out, you know, out to the sideline, trying to avoid the sack. You see Robbie coming back for the ball? No. Sam threw the ball. You didn't see him fight, right? If the DB made the interception, then don't you think Robbie had just as, on top of Robbie, Robbie had just as much chance to make that play? Yo, he doesn't fight. He doesn't fight. He breaks. He quits on routes. They just need to trade his ass. They need to. Leo, trade. Everyone should be gone on Tuesday. Everyone should be gone by tomorrow. Whatever time the deadline is.
I mean, you think Adam Gase gets another opportunity to coach his team next year?
Yeah, I'm going to be very honest
with you. Obviously, we don't want... I mean, we both feel that he just should be fired. But obviously, what the organization does is two different things.
I hated the hire. Our close friend Joe Rivera convinced me this was a good hire. Had me buying in, like a Jet fan normally does. You hate something, and then you buy into it. Well, I'm telling you right now that I'm from here on out, as a Jet fan, I'm sticking with my initial reaction. If my initial reaction is to hate something, then I'm going to hate it. Because you want to know what? I'll be wrong. If it works out, I'll be the one that's wrong. But I'm not going to be the hypocrite that's like, I hated that. And then I come on the air and I'm like, even though I hate it, I'm going to praise this move. And then I got to come here and look like a fool. No, I hated this hire when they first made it. Got sold on it. And it's just like Fizdale. Same thing. I don't think there's nothing I see from this guy. I don't listen on Monday night. Everything was deep go routes. Everything. Nobody was open because he was running, calling 10-yard, 15-yard plays. When even the New England Patriots don't run an offense like that. Nothing was out quick. Nothing at all. Everything out quick was to the running backs. And at one point on Monday night, he got Le'Veon Bell lit up, right? Well, yesterday, everything was short routes. Everything. Everything was quicking out on that first drive. It's like this coach doesn't change. He doesn't adapt to the game plan. And even after all that bull-ish, man, we were only down 7 points, 9 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And get this, Danny Dimes, who everybody loves, and Sam Darnold had the same exact QBR, 116.5. One guy was down by 14 points, and the other guy was down by 7 points. But you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because Sam is now the joke. Sam is now the butt of all jokes. And the classless organization Jacksonville is. You ain't see them play the highlights of they playing his highlights of all of his interceptions on the day, playing the Ghostbusters theme song. Classless. How did the owner of Jacksonville allow that to get passed on? You don't do that to players. It's in the CBA that you don't do that. Yet everyone is doing that to this kid. I hope the Jets never greenlight him to put on a microphone ever again.
I don't know if that was a smart idea to begin with.
No, well, it's mandatory. If the NFL chooses you, if they choose you to be mic'd up, you're supposed to be mic'd up.
Okay.
And then Aaron Rodgers came out this week and said, I tell them no. You're not putting a mic on.
What do they
me.
Do, fine you if you don't do it?
Yeah, they fine you. But yeah. Sam's a rookie. Sam's not trying to do anything. Sam puts on a mic. But here's the other catch to it. You're not allowed to put sideline commentary on the game without players' consent. That's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. It should have never made the air. And that's why I say it's part of a setup, man. This is how they want you to view the Jets. And it's not just a Jet fan saying it. It's in the freaking CBA. The mic is shuts off in the huddle. There's a 3 second shut off, and then it's made so you can hear game sounds. When it goes to the sideline and you're listening to personal conversations, even a conversation that took place between him and Coach Gase, they're saying even that was questionable. And this possibility that should have been shown because there's a 24-hour period where you need to allow them permission to give you permission to put that on the air. They didn't follow any proper protocol for that game. And you tell me why they didn't follow proper protocol for that game.
Yeah. Well, I also hope that that's not a, that doesn't hinder this young man's career, man, Mike, because he's a solid quarterback.
Well, the butt fumble, Mark Sanchez never recovered from the butt fumble, followed him his whole career. And that's exactly what I'm saying, because do you think they would have ever done that to Peyton Manning? Do you think they would have ever done that to Tom Brady, ever? If Tom Brady said that year that he got his ass beat in the AFC Championship by DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller when Denver went to the Super Bowl, Do you think that that made it? Do you think that he wasn't saying the same thing on the sideline? Do you think they would have put that if it was Tom Brady saying it?
That's a great point. Great point.
It's not just a Jet fan saying it. They show a lack of respect to this franchise all the time. Jacksonville out there freaking, they made a ghost costume for their mascot. What are we talking about here, Lloyd? Seriously, what are we talking about?
Yeah. We'll see what happens moving forward. I still think this is a solid football team. I don't know what's going on with the defense, but, you know, like you said, you brought up a great point. Both quarterbacks had similar QBR ratings, and, you know, one was looked at in a different light than the other one.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they're over here telling me on the telecast, Sam Darnold has been a mixed bag today. And he had, at the time, he's down by 7 with a 116 QBR, 116 and a half QBR, and they're calling him a mixed bag. When was the last time someone told you your quarterback had a 116 rating, down 7 points in the fourth quarter, and he was a mixed bag?
Yeah. Agreed.
While taking 8 sacks. You tell me, when was the last time that happened?
Rough going. And let's talk about the other quarterback in the other New York football team, the New York Football Giants, and Daniel Jones, who continues to turn the ball over. Continue. And listeners, I will continue to say over and over and over again that this young man was not worthy of a 6th pick. Meanwhile, I watched, what's the young man from Jacksonville? Is it Josh Allen? It's not Josh Allen. Is it Josh Allen?
Gardner Minshew.
No, the kid that everybody thought the Giants was going to take, and they didn't take him. The defensive end.
Oh, Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen. Meanwhile, I look at Jacksonville, and this young man is making plays. You know what I'm saying? Daniel Jones, I don't care what Dave Gettleman says, listeners.
So you're telling me after 322 yards and 4 passing touchdowns, that you're not buying in?
No, I'm not. And I said last week I wasn't buying in. Remember, I said it was going first. I said, pump your brake, listeners and Giant fans, just because he had good games against Tampa Bay and Washington, who are two terrible teams. The real test was going to come against New England and Minnesota. How did he fare? And then Arizona, he didn't look that much better. And Arizona's nowhere near as good of a defense as Minnesota, New England. Then he goes up against Detroit, who's a bad defense as well. How many times?
And not only did they trade one of their corners this week, then their number one corner missed the game this week.
Threw an interception. He almost threw a couple of interceptions in yesterday's game. No pocket presence at all. He holds the damn ball too long. He has to learn how, when nothing is happening, throw the damn ball away. Simple as that. Live to play another down. Don't force the issue. Isn't this what Pat Shurmur is supposed to be teaching him as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to knock him.
Week out, week in, week out, man, Mike, we see the same thing. He's a turnover machine. Now, can that be corrected? It could very well possibly be corrected, listeners. It could be. But like Mad Mike is saying, all this Danny Dimes, Danny Dimes, Danny Dimes, Danny Dimes. I'm not sold. Definitely not worth a 6th pick. I don't even think he's worth a 1st-round pick. I felt so when the Giants drafted him, and I still feel the same way now. That wasn't the Giants' biggest need. If that was the case, Mad Mike, they should have cut Eli Manning. Should have cut Eli Manning. But if you're coming back with Eli Manning, why draft a quarterback with the 6th pick where you have so many other needs? I couldn't even tell you. Well, Alec Ogletree came back. Couldn't even tell you the other damn linebackers that's playing for the Giants. Can't even tell you. Practice squad dudes?
Yeah.
When's the last time the Giants had an impactful linebacker, Mad Mike? What's his name? Antonio Pierce. Last one. Last Giants linebacker that I can remember that had over 100 tackles in a season. And how long ago was that? And again, the Giants do not have the personnel, listeners. They don't have it to run a 3-4 defense. They have 300-plus pound players playing defensive end. And when that happens, if you're not getting pressure from Marcus Golden or Carter, the quarterback has all damn day to throw the ball. Simple. And I said it before, and I said it again. This team is not going to end up with more than 4 wins this year. I'm saying 3. I'm giving them a buffer because they do play Miami and they do play Washington one more time. That's where the buffer comes into play. This defense is terrible. Terrible. They rank in the bottom against the run. They rank in the bottom against the pass. They rank in the bottom for sacks combined by a team. I could go on and on. On and on. And then Saquon Barkley, who I would say to this day, listeners, I felt it was the right pick for the Giants to make. He had 19 carries, Matt Mike. 19 carries. Listeners, 19 carries. That dude needs to carry the ball 20 plus times every single game. Every single game, 20 plus times he needs to carry the ball. 19 is not enough. It's not. It's just not. And then the blocking scheme and the play calling, you don't have a fullback in front of him, and you're giving him plays in between the guard and center. What kind of damn sense is that, mate? It makes no sense at all. Ugh. Golden Tate look good. Darius Slayton looks like he can be something. But again, the Giants don't have a top flight receiver. They have all these guys that fit the system that the Giants choose to run, which is 10-yard or less passes, 15-yard or less routes. They throw the ball deep every now and then. But their offense is not built to throw the ball down the field. It's not built that way. Which is one of the reasons why Odell Beckham Jr. is not here. You can't have a downfield threat if you're not going to throw the ball down the field. This is a bad team. And I really don't see the Giants coming out of this anytime soon, listeners. This is going to be every year for the next couple years. This is going to be a 3-5 win team. Watch what I tell you. Hopefully, wrong like I've been with the other comments I made, and they proved me wrong. This is one time I like to be proven wrong.
Wrong in reverse.
Yes.
Here's the thing, though. The Giants have done two things successfully. One, Saquon Barkley is an absolute star, right? So we know that. So the fans buy in stock there. It makes it easier for you to, sell as a franchise. You have a face, you have a star, you have a good kid here. It's easier to sell the fans. And for some reason, the media, Daniel Dimes, Danny Dimes. I mean, the pass that Slayton caught for the first touchdown, everyone's saying it was a dime. You see what that kid had to do to make that catch? That kid made that catch.
Daniel
Jones didn't make that throw.
The defender never turned his head around to see the ball. And if he would have turned his head around, he would have either knocked it down or picked it off.
And that's my point. So let's not call but once again, they have successfully change the narrative because people wanted so bad for Eli to be gone that people are overlooking the fact that this kid had another 2 fumbles today, another turnover. That makes, I think, 14 in 5 games. which is, you know, you want to knock Sam Darnold, who has, you know, his own share of turnovers, on, you know, but five, talking about 14 in five games. I mean, that's pretty horrible.
That's terrible.
If you ask me.
That's terrible. But listen, if anybody thinks that's good or says a learning curve, something's wrong with them.
But what I'm saying is they have successfully changed the narrative about, like, what you see. You see a team that's bad. You see a defense that's years away. This offense still needs help. All this money they have, either you got to spend all this money you have next year, the $100 million you have, to fix the defense, which is horrible, or you have to, you know, unlike what the Jets, I mean, you got to try to split it, right? Like the Jets did, right? The Jets split their $100 million, a couple pieces on offense, a couple pieces on defense, and what they ended up doing is they didn't fix either side of the ball. So if you're the Giants, what are you going to do? If you go and get this kid, Daniel Jones, the pieces they need to be successful on offense, then your defense is still going to be horrible. And you better hope this kid can be putting up 35, you know, point games every week.
I mean,
the Jets just learned the hard way, right? The Jets went and got themselves two linemen instead of revamping the whole line. They went and they got themselves a running back. They went and got themselves a split guy in Montgomery and a wide receiver in Crowder. It wasn't enough.
And no, and when you look at Solder, the defense, Nate Solder, listeners, wow. Wow.
Yeah, but we knew that, Lloyd. That was the thing that everyone talked about. They knew that. They knew he wasn't going to be any good. How many New England guys do you see? Look at Trent Brown, as a matter of fact. Trent Brown was a failed first-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers. He gets traded for peanuts to the New England Patriots for one season. They rebuilt him all the way up to the fact that he just got the highest contract for a tackle. Think about that. And now what's he looking like in Oakland? He's looking like the best tackle in football? No. New England, two back-to-back years, New England offensive linemen have set the market. Tom Brady and that system is why these guys look good, not because they fit your system. They're trash everywhere but New England. No one, that's the thing that no one understands. Normally what you have is trash. It's trash. Bill Belichick just knows what he wants. Bill Belichick looks at what you do well, not what you do bad. Because he's not going to coach you to do what you do bad. He's only going to coach you to do what you do well. Nate Solder's trash. But all they asked Nate Solder for was a second and a half. Give me a second and a half. All I need from you.
Ironically, he's the highest paid lineman on that offensive line, but yeah, he's the worst lineman on that offensive line.
Yeah. The Giants are saying, Nate, I need 3 seconds. Whereas in New England, they say, I need a second and a half. If Bill Belichick is willing to let a player leave, why would you ever, and this is what I've always said, why would you sign a guy that Bill Belichick is willing to let go? Think about this. Stephon Gilmore. Buffalo just wasn't coaching to his strength, right?
Yeah,
Buffalo,
this dude is one of the best corners in the NFL right now.
He might be the best corner in the NFL. Why? Because Bill Belichick looked at him and said, I see what you do well, and that's what I need. And we're going to make you the best guy in the league. Wes Welker. Wes Welker came from Miami. Miami couldn't find any use for him. Look at what Wes Welker became there.
And then went to Denver and was completely forgotten about. Wasn't the same player.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola's another one.
Julian Edelman was a college quarterback. We're now having conversations, and not me, but there are now conversations about him being a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He was a quarterback. So, if New England's letting you go, that's just my point. There's no way I'm making you the richest left tackle in football.
Oh, boy. That's a mess in New York sports, listeners. A pure mess. Only bright spots are Islanders, who won 5 games in a row. You know, they're playing solid hockey. Solid hockey. Oh, man, it's a bad time in New York sports. But still a long way to go. Not for the Giants, because, you know, the NFL's Giants and Jets, as we're approaching the halfway mark in the NFL season, how crazy. It seemed like the season just started, but we're almost halfway through it. So obviously we'll have a lot more to talk about. But before we get to Mad Mike's rant, let's talk a little bit of New York Yankees, Mad Mike. As James Paxton has come out and said they don't need no damn starter. He came out and said they don't need a starter.
What do they need? What do they need?
Yeah. I scratched my head on that.
That's a serious question. What do they need? They don't need a starter. What do they need?
Completely and someone better, head on that.
Somebody better have a conversation with the man, because people listen to these comments you make. People hear these things. You don't feel like you need a starter? Brian Cashman is going to walk into a meeting with Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole is going to say, well, you don't need a starter. Right or wrong, Lord?
No, you're absolutely right. And when I read that, that was the first thing, and it had Gerrit Cole's name attached to it. You know, but the media is devilish, too. The media is devilish.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. We're not going to need a rant, because my rant is going to come out during this conversation. I know it's going to come out during this conversation. We're not even going to get to Matt Mike's rant today. We're just not going to get there. Unbelievable, man. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I you know, I was just saying, like, you know, that's one of the reasons why. You know, then they try to say, oh, Wallace Chapman gave up a home run again. That's been an Achilles heel for this team the entire season, is their starting pitching. And Paxton, who had a terrible first half. Aces don't have terrible first halves of anything. They don't.
I do want to defend him in that regard. In the first half, I'm not going to defend him. Here's what I will commend about James Paxton that might have gone overlooked this year. Like you mentioned, he had a pretty bad he had a rough first half, we'd say, right? But I'll say this about him. Sonny Gray, who was an absolute star this year in Cincinnati, was never able to change his ways and be successful. Remember that you come into New York, that New York is changing your repertoire. What you may have had success with in the past is not necessarily what they want you to have success with here. The one thing I'll say about James Paxton, he was able to transition to the way the New York Yankees wanted him to pitch, working less off his cutter, using his curveball more. And even though he struggled early on and everyone was saying, what's the problem? He found a way to find success within the Yankees pitching structure. Whether that's Sonny Gray not buying in and James Paxton buying in, whatever you want to say it is or I want to say it is, that's the one thing I will commend. He found a way to succeed throwing their way, soft tossing, whatever you want to call it.
Listen, we both feel that they need a starting pitcher. It's going to be interesting to see.
They need two. They need two.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't need one. They need two.
I agree with you. And I said that. They need to get two of the top three free agents out here. Okay, you didn't want to trade for somebody at the deadline because people were trying to rob you blind and asking for too much. Now you ain't got no excuse. You got the money to do it. You ain't got no excuse now. None whatsoever. You don't have to give up anybody. All you got to do is get people here. Get people here. Decent crop of free agent starting pitchers out on the market this coming season, Mad Mike.
I'd say above decent.
You know,
if they're serious about getting pitching, Lloyd, Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg should both be New York Yankees.
I agree.
Both of them.
And if you can't get Strasburg, I'll take him.
Will is another guy that I think.
Would you dabble with Madison Bumgarner? I don't think he wants to be here. I don't think he wants to be here.
I kick the tires. Here's what I'll tell you. I'll kick the tires on Madison Bumgarner. I'll kick the tires on Dallas Keuchel. All of them. They need two.
You know that. I'm telling you right now, Yankees ain't going to do that, though.
And I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to hear any kids listening. Any kids listening? Do we have kids listening right now?
Not right. I don't think so.
I don't want to hear shit about years, age, or money because you gave 37-year-old J.A. Happ $17 million a year for 3 years. I don't want to hear anything about money. If Gerrit Cole is looking for a deal that's going to take him to his age 36 or 37 year, you sign him. Because CeCe Sabathia pitched at 38 years old this year. And from what we found out as the season kept going on, with nothing left in his body. I mean, do you take pride in the fact that you signed a guy who had heart surgery to start the year and finish the season basically being taken out on a stretcher, right? Couldn't land on that knee anymore. Had nothing left in the shoulder. Literally left everything on the field. And you gave him a one-year deal. The same 1 year that you didn't, the extra 1 year you didn't want to give Patrick Corbin, you gave CeCe. So I don't want to hear anything, man. I don't.
Yeah, and speaking of baseball, you know, before we close the show out, World Series is going on. Houston has come back and tied it at two. People were writing them off after going down the first two games. They've come back, tied the game at two, and Max Scherzer is not pitching. Listeners, and Matt Mike, because he has back spasms. So he's
yes,
not making
it's the strangest thing, but I thought the Nationals, I don't want to say wasted a golden opportunity. No, you know what? It's the World Series. The Nationals wasted a golden opportunity. They signed Patrick Corbin specifically for this moment, right? What the hell are you doing up two games to nothing pitching Anibal Sanchez in game three? Now, if this goes to game seven, you would have had to, you'd be forced to pitch Anibal Sanchez in a possible eliminator. And you know, basically, game seven is it, right? Culmination of your season for the title. And you'd be forced to pitch Anibal Sanchez over Patrick Corbin? Like, what the hell are you thinking? You had an opportunity there to go Patrick Corbin versus Zach Greinke, go up three games to nothing, and you pissed it away, man. How arrogant can you be to say that you believe you can win with Anibal Sanchez in game four and game three? He didn't pitch game three of any series. If he wasn't your third starter to start this postseason, what the hell were you thinking?
And that could be the deciding factor. It really can. Sometimes you always point to one particular thing that changes the whole complexity of things in sports.
Yeah.
Great point.
The one game, instead of being up 3-0 or giving yourself, I don't want to be arrogant enough myself or ignorant enough to say that they would have been up 3-0. What I'm saying is, like, and I think you'll agree with me, your job as a manager is always to give your team the best chance to win a game. The best possible chance to win a game. I just finished saying that he was 17th on the list last week. He was like, are you kidding me? Anibal Sanchez? Really? And not only that, I like to look ahead. God forbid that this goes seven games and I don't go up 3-0 and this goes seven games. Who do I want on the mound? Anibal Sanchez or Patrick Corbin? Do I want my prize free agent signing on the mound game three or game seven? Or do I want Anibal Sanchez, a retread, who's played for as many teams as Cameron Maven?
Yeah.
Anibal Sanchez, who was just pitching for the Atlanta Braves last year, was pitching for the Detroit Tigers a year before that. I mean, come on, Lloyd, come on.
And Scherzer's not, and Scherzer's hurt.
And then you lose Scherzer to back spasm. So look how arrogant you acted in game three. And everything went up in smoke.
Let's see. But, I mean, it's been a good world. So to be honest with you, I'm not even going to say anything. I haven't watched one damn game. Not one. I've watched highlights and stuff to the games. I haven't watched one inning of the World Series, listeners and Mad Mike. Not one. I'll just get my recap after the game is over. I'll ask somebody who won, and then I'll, you know, do my homework on what's going on, but I have no interest in the World Series. And I wonder what the ratings are getting. I wonder what their ratings are.
I'm sure that they're high because Washington, first time in some odd years.
But we both know it would be higher if the Yankees were in it.
Oh, I agree with you. Because I would have.
All right, listeners.
And they're post-game show would be.
Yeah, so with that being said, we're going to bring this week's show to a close. Me and Mad Mike would like to thank you for sticking with us. And please listen and spread the word. Get the word out to your family, friends, loved ones about this show. Let them know how special it is and how great it is. We want to thank our producer, A.O. Omar Baker, for rocking out with us and keeping this thing going as well. So listeners, have a safe and blessed week. And me and Mad Mike, I'll see you in 7 days. So, ayo, let's roll, baby.
Oh, what a hell of a week. Rough week in New York NBA. You got the Nets, they're 1-2. They dropped a super close game last night to Memphis. My beloved New York Knicks, they're 0-3. Have no idea what the hell is going on over there. Although RJ Barrett seems to be a bit of a bright spot. Dennis Smith Jr. and Ntilikina, and there's nothing good coming out of that. Fans are turning on them. The coaching staff, I don't know. But they're going to try to bounce back tonight against the Bulls. They're playing Chicago tonight, so we'll see. Hopefully they get their first win on the board. It's rough. It's rough. But what's not rough is this show. Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike, part of my Fresh Sports. Every Monday, everywhere the podcasts are available, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, things of that nature. So make sure you subscribe and tell a friend to tell a friend. Brand new episodes once again drop every Monday. Hit that subscribe button. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. With any questions, follow online on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson, that's two L's. Follow at PMF Sports on Twitter and PMFNY Sports on Instagram. Lots going on over here. Catch y'all in 7 days. Hopefully the Knicks have a win by then. If not, oh man. I can only imagine the rant that Mad Mike is going to have next week if the Knicks still haven't won a game by the time we get to next week's show. But we'll catch y'all in 7 days. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Peace.